Welcome to the Brands and Bubbly podcast, where we talk business tips and resources for female entrepreneurs looking for support in the small business community. I'm Kelly.
And I'm Hillary.
So today we want to chat with you guys about having a sustainable business and sharing with you all, you know, some things that we've done as business owners when starting out in hopes that, you know, maybe we could save you some setbacks that we've experienced ourselves.
Yeah, exactly. So thinking to when you first started your boutique about five years ago, what would you say is something that you did that you know, not necessarily shouldn't have done, but you definitely could have done differently or maybe just skipped altogether, but you thought that you had to do it?
Yeah. So one of the big things was inventory buying. So when I started the boutique, it was actually in the basement of my home. And I had an e-commerce store still, and I just ran everything out of the house. And I actually came from working for a school department. So I was working in IT and database management, so I had no idea what I was doing starting a boutique, but I was like, you know what, this is what I want to do. I'm going for it. I definitely didn't educate myself enough on purchasing inventory. I literally just took $5,000 and went to a trade show in New Hampshire and just bought stuff.
That's probably a lot of fun though.
Yeah,
like it going was like an all-inclusive shopping trip, like,
oh my
not
God.
For you, but you could still pick out all the things that you loved, so I'm sure that was like a lot of fun.
Yeah, so much fun. But I also like didn't understand like the seasons and when you need to transition, you know, purchasing sweaters versus tank tops and all of that. So I ended up getting I launched, I think, in June or July, and I got stuck with so much summer because I bought $5,000
worth of
summer.
So you just bought all summer
stuff? Yeah.
Yeah, which in, like, July, I mean, given – I'm sure it's a little different depending on where you live and stuff, but
yeah.
We're talking, like, in-hand inventory here in New England. So by July, I'm typically thinking, like, okay, next month I'm going to start – or
sweaters,
even now,
or
like, I'm done
whatever.
Buying for summer. I have enough. I'm done, and I'm going to start buying all of, like, my fall stuff, or at least thinking about it. So,
yeah. So a recommendation for you all, especially if you are, like, a retail store and you're carrying inventory, look into the profit first method when it comes to buying, because it teaches you how to purchase inventory based on the income that you're making. So we'll just say, like, you know, you're taking 20% of what you're making and you're setting that aside to purchase inventory in the future. Because I feel like a lot of small businesses that are retail specific, they'll go into debt pretty easily just purchasing inventory, you know, because they don't have a marketing strategy, for one, which I didn't.
Right.
You know, they assume that their friends and family are going to buy from them. Your friends and family are not your target audience. So do not go into business thinking that your friends and family are going to support what you're doing.
Right.
You can talk to any business owner and they will tell you how disappointed they are that they have friends and family that don't support them.
Yeah, and that goes the same for me too. So I'm sure all different like niches
yeah.
of businesses that happens, but yeah.
But yeah, like I said, so, you know, your friends and family aren't your target audience. Narrowing down who your target audience is so you know who you're marketing to. And then, you know, having a strategy behind your buying, which I think going back to profit first, I think that will help a lot of people. There's a book on it. I'm so, so sorry. I can't remember the name of the author right now. But if you go on like Amazon or look up business books, you will see it.
I can literally actually
oh, wait,
see it
we,
right there.
We have
I'll
it.
Grab it. Hold
okay.
on.
Okay. Hillary has it. She's going to look really quick for you guys. So, so sorry. Okay. Mike, oh gosh, I'm going to butcher his last name. Michael Wall's wicks.
Yep, that's what we're going with, but I'm sure that Amazon will pull that right up for you.
So definitely look into that book. It was very beneficial for me as a business owner, especially starting out.
And we can definitely always, you can just reach out to us and we'll link you to that too. But so my business is a little bit different since I don't sell a physical product or have an online store or anything like that. But when I first started photography, I, you know, went online and I looked at all the shiny things that I was supposed to have, whether that be camera bodies and lenses, lighting, all those different things, but I wasn't even exactly sure what they meant yet. I just know that a lot of people had them. And I was really in the early stages of even learning how to, you know, use my camera outside of auto mode. And then once I got past that and I started, you know, wanting to do mini sessions and, you know, just book all different types of clients, I started buying things. So
you didn't niche down yet.
You know, so first step was niching down. I hadn't niched down. I was going to do every mini session you can imagine, Easter, glitter, Christmas, Thanksgiving, St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah, and I do want to add, like, there's nothing wrong with that because I feel like it helps you figure out what you want your niche to be.
I definitely think that part of it in the beginning, you know, was a little bit of a learning experience. Yeah. I think I probably could have done it without spending top dollar on everything and maybe simplifying, you know, the sets or backdrops that I was doing because I couldn't just do it a little. It had to be like all or nothing. So I just sunk a lot of money into it. But I was also going to be a wedding photographer, a newborn photographer, a brand photographer, a family photographer, a event photographer, like you
Seniors,
name it.
Seniors, families. Yeah,
like you just name it. Like if you asked me to do it, I was going to do it. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with that, maybe if it works for you. But the thing was that all of those different niches cost a lot of money to have all the appropriate things to be able to do them at the scale that I wanted to do them at. So we'll just focus on, you know, being a newborn photographer. First, you know, I needed to learn how to at least do the basics of that. But then, you know, you need baskets and different props so that baby is safe. You need wraps and, you know, all the colors and shiny things and little stuffed animals and baby outfits are so cute. You kind of like lose track of what you're buying.
You just go crazy. I want all the cute things for
the cute
babies. I want
all the cute things for cute babies. But what you don't realize is like even if you're going to do newborns is that the audience that you're attracting for newborns has, you know, you want to have a specific style because even within that niche, you cannot accommodate every single style of newborn photography.
Right.
So I was trying to make everybody who wanted newborn photos happy.
But also like thinking about for that specific niche, like the lifespan of it, right? So you're probably going to get that those people as a client once or maybe twice if they have multiple children or whatever. So your marketing has to be pretty on point because you need to be attracting new clients constantly because, you know, the chances that these clients are going to come back to you is probably a lot more slim.
Yeah, you're more counting on them telling their friends who are also, you know, in that stage of life having babies about the photos. But, you know, there's not a big, you know, return. They're not coming back because they loved your style so much for your newborn photos, maybe 2 years later, but that's about it. And you're buying all these props and things to accommodate that one client. And then when you're looking at your actual after your costs, after everything you've invested, there's not much left over. And, you know, now I sit here, I still do newborns, but more for my friends and family as well as previous clients. And sometimes I do, but, you know, everyone picks the same, I don't know, 5 or 6 wraps, very neutral tones, very subtle. I aim for clients that want a lot of lifestyle photos. And now, you know, these wraps are $10 a piece. And I think I have about 150 of them that haven't ever been used. And I had to pay for them. And I never needed them. I never needed them. So it would have been better for me to purchase as I went, rather than thinking that I had to stockpile,
exactly,
which kind of is the same thing with the inventory, is that I felt like I had to stockpile to have on hand everything that would, everybody would ever want. But at the end of the day, you know, it was a lot simpler than that.
Yeah.
So I definitely recommend that if you're not sure, or, you know, you're figuring it out for your client as you go, just depending, you know, that you're not stockpiling all your inventory or props or resources or anything, because, you know, I wasn't even sure.
Right. So, like, just taking a moment to step back and actually put thought into, you know, what it is that you're investing money in your business.
Yeah, and those things don't even make me the big return at the end of the day. It's more having my lighting correct, like getting the expressions on, you know, the family's face, or the, you know, making sure that the newborn is sleeping, or, you know, those are the things that people really are looking at. And I was spending money on the things that at the end of the day weren't necessarily making me a profit. They looked good. But I definitely should have stepped back and kind of said, I need to perfect these things first before I should be worried about all these details and then going from there. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of, you know, what I have similar with the inventory. But, you know, what else do you think that you could have done different or are doing differently now that, you know, helps with keeping your business going and for the long term?
So I will definitely say, like, narrowing down your target audience is huge, because, and, like, you know, with my consulting, you know, I just had a client today actually where we sat down and we narrowed down the target audience, did the client avatar, and, like, a lot of people think that that's a silly you know, thing to do, but it really helps you figure out who exactly you're talking to. You know, so when it does come time for you to market and to buy inventory or to, you know, provide a service, you know exactly who you're talking to.
Yeah, that is super important.
So, like, for example, with the boutique, when I first started, you know, I would just take everybody's opinion, you know, like a friend or a family member would be like, well, I think you should bring in kimonos, or I think you should bring in hats. I think you should bring in, you know, ABC, whatever it is. And I'd be like, oh yeah, maybe I should bring that in. And then I'd bring it in and then no one would buy it. And I'd be like, what the heck, you know? So not listening to the outside noise, I think, is important too. Knowing your target audience, not listening to what people are telling you to bring in, following the actual trends, not necessarily, you know, what your Aunt Patty thinks that is popular. And like I said, like, that's specific to, you know, maybe boutique type retail type stores.
But I imagine that it still falls under a lot of product based. I mean, because that could fall under, like, if you're selling makeup products, or you're selling, I don't even know, candles or body soaps or any of those things. It's like, then you could be like, I like this scent, and other people don't. And you have to know kind of, like, who your target audience is and, like, what they like. I mean, imagine it's a little bit harder for, like, scents and stuff, but you would look then at statistics of what sells versus what doesn't. But
regardless, across the board, knowing your target audience is huge. And I feel like, you know, as new businesses, a lot of people overlook that, and they're just like, oh, I sell this, and everyone, like I said, you know, friends and family, you know, assuming people are going to shop with them and whatnot, and not actually narrowing down who their customer or client is.
So I'm curious, with your line of business versus mine, I know this is a loaded question, so we'll just touch on it, because it could be a whole other episode, but how did you determine who your client, who your target audience is, who your ideal client is for your businesses?
So for the boutique, you know, and I feel like, because I kind of did it backwards a little bit with the boutique, you know, like, it's kind of a harder question for me to answer, but, you know, I have a mission-driven business, so people that have the same values as me was really important. You know, my whole thing was comfortable fashion.
Right.
So people that, you know, wanted to look nice but feel comfortable, you know, the cruelty-free beauty line, people that cared about, you know, protecting animals and not having crummy chemicals in their makeup. You know, so those are some, I think for me, it was like more the values for the boutique.
But yeah, and that sounds really similar to me as well with my business. And I think, you know, I think when you start a business, you don't even realize how much that, and I know we touched on this last time, how much you have to live through your business. Yeah. So finding your ideal client, you know, you're putting yourself into your business. So now your values and everything are coming out. So your ideal client is really who also
aligns with you.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. So when I started, you know, and again, not, you know, there's nothing wrong with photographing all different things, but, you know, I was really looking for, I didn't realize that I was going to be looking for the people that I really felt like I could relate to and that the connections were so natural. Mm-hmm. And that's a lot of why I gravitated to personal branding, was because I felt like we could relate right out the door. We kind of like both understood the struggles of being in, you know, the struggles and the positive parts and everything about being a small business, a business owner. So we're relating on that right away.
Like, I want to add in too, like, you know, as you grow as a business, you might pivot and you need to sit down and actually reevaluate who your target audience is.
I think that almost any first-time business owner, it's really important to know that
it's okay to shift.
You probably almost should reevaluate because starting a business is so much different than I think all of us, if we've never done it before, I think actually doing it and being, let's just say, at the end of our first year, we're probably somewhere completely different than where we thought, or we're feeling like we need to pivot, or whatever it is. I think it's great to reevaluate and see where you want to go from there.
But at the same time, like, so we're saying that, but also not to contradict what we've been saying before, where you can't be all over the place.
No.
So you need to stick with something for a while, and as you grow, you know,
you figure it out, and then you have a better idea. Don't just pivot to pivot.
Right.
Pivot because maybe you've learned a few things.
So here's an example, right? So, you know, there's always ebbs and flows, and no matter what industry you're in, but we'll just say retail, for instance. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the holidays are always a busy time in retail, right? But then when you get to they say the J months, so like your January, your June, your July, you know, things slow down. So a lot of times I feel like you'll see newer brands kind of freak out, and then they start pulling in product that makes no sense for their business. Mm. So as a business owner, I think my biggest tip is to make sure that whatever services you're bringing in or whatever products you're bringing in, that you're staying on brand and you're staying on target. So you're focusing in on your target audience.
Yeah, no, I love that.
So thank you guys for taking the time to sit with us and listen. I hope that you're able to have a takeaway or two from our conversation today. And I really hope that you will join us next time.